You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompox, Colombia. The next week, you'll hear me back in Bogota, but this is from Mompox, so we're five and a half hours south of Cartagena, 5 hours south of Barranquilla, 5 hours from Santa Marta, so pretty much the middle of nowhere. But anyway, we're going to have on the line from Buritaca, that's on the Caribbean coast, we're going to have Ashley Benning on the line. She's a San Franciscan, and she's going to tell us what she's doing there as a health and wellness instructor. That's a yoga instructor to you and me. But yes, she's somehow ended up at the Gitana del Mar Eco Resort teaching yoga. So we're going to be talking to her further about that. And something that I want to explore further, and I think that some of you out there listening could possibly point me in the right direction, but something I wanted to explore further is how to involve yoga, health and wellness into a field for reconciliation and reintegration here in Colombia. Because of course, what is coming seems to be coming straight towards us like a juggernaut with no brakes, is of course a final peace accord signed with the FARC guerrillas after 50 plus years of conflict. That's dating back to, well, really before 1964, although 1964 is the official date. But so yes, we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to talk about how yoga can really sort of, let's say, how can it be incorporated into your day-to-day existence in order to combat such situations of sort of alienation, rage, and of course everything that has taken place here in Colombia for so long. So it's going to be very interesting to talk to someone with such an who's, you know, such an interest and a background in something so interesting, so I mean forward thinking. And you know, I for one have never done yoga, even though I think I probably should, but it should be something that we think about in terms of reconciliation. And well, with that in mind, think about Buritaca, think about the Caribbean coast, think about how beautiful it is up there, and whether you too would like to get involved in the Gitana del Mar, like yoga classes. I can't think of anything better, you know, with the turquoise seas and the palm trees blowing in the wind and everything up there. But that's one thing. I mean, we're talking a little bit about travel, really, aren't we? And we've been focused on that quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. I'd like to know what you thought of, what the peace dialogues, peace accord with the FARC means for tourism. That was a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And then we did the Pereira City Guide with Erin Donaldson. I'd like to know what you thought of these interviews, because I, for one, enjoyed them immensely. I enjoyed finding the people, talking to them, and, of course, researching it. Of course, if you are coming to Colombia, or you're in Colombia and you're traveling and you are at a loose end, how about you look up Colombia for You? That's a Colombia for You, and you can put in the code if you want to go on any of their tours, put the code Colombia Calling for You, and that will get you a discount on this Colombia for You .com website. Aside from that, this is still another shout out. I've got a month remaining on my Indiegogo campaign. My Indiegogo campaign to create a magazine spin-off from this Columbia Calling podcast. I'd like to make an annual magazine, high in content and quality, in editorial quality, long-form journalism, proper photography, and new artwork, you know, to really showcase Colombia, really get behind this country that just given me so much, not without its struggles, of course, but given me so much. So please sign on to Indiegogo, look for the Columbia Calling project, and you can commit anything, any quantity you want, anything from $1 up to greater than $1,000, of course, if you want to. There are all sorts of perks there, as they call them, perks, if you do sign up. Indeed, I'm 1 month away, 12% funded, But we really need a drive in this last month. I really need to get some of you on board. And there are 8,000 plus of you downloading this per week. If each one of you were to give $2, we would be, very much, very much in the clear. But that's another story. And I won't plead with you for very much longer about this. 1 month remaining on my Indiegogo campaign. Of course, you want to read my blog. That's richardmccall.com. The website is columbiacallingradio.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Enjoy the show, because we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Ashley Benning, who's going to be on the line with us from Buritaca. So anything more exotically sounding than that. Buritaca to Mompos. We are talking about health and wellness and yoga up there on the Caribbean coast. Idyllic, I think. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break with Ashley. Thank you again for listening to this episode 148. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Mompos, Colombia, sweating in the heat. And today we have the very special guest who's up in Buritaca. So for those of you who don't know where Buritaca is, it's, let's say, the estuary of a river entering out into the Caribbean Ocean, the Caribbean Sea there on the Colombian coast. Her name is Ashley Benning, and she's originally from San Francisco, but she's up here in Colombia doing some great stuff, and we'll get on to what she's doing here a bit later on in this episode 148. But we want to talk about Ashley and her background, and we'll get into her Colombian experience. But Ashley, you are a health and wellness instructor from up there, from Palo Alto, from San Francisco, and you're down here in Colombia. We'll get onto your Colombia experience, but tell me a little bit about your work up there in San Francisco, in California.
Okay, great. Well, first off, thanks for having me, Richard. I am a huge fan of Columbia Calling. Listened to it a ton before I made my travels. I'm a health and wellness instructor in East Palo Alto, which is basically the politically correct term for yoga and mindfulness in the public school system. And we are doing a study with Stanford University. 3,500 kids in this school district are receiving health and wellness, mindfulness, breathing, self-regulation techniques to deal with toxic stress and difficult situations that they're facing. Wow. So, yeah.
What can you tell me? I mean, because I know a lot of my listeners will be in tune with what you're saying, but a lot won't as well. What is exactly toxic stress?
Experiencing something early in childhood, whether it be emotional or physical abuse, or just not having the safety, kind of like a lot of 40% of our population is technically homeless. So they don't actually have they have roof and they have shelter, but they don't have their own home. They're living with family. They're living 10 people to a room and that kind of situation. So yeah, it's kind of that.
It sounds like an incredibly uncomfortable situation. So you are fully involved in this, let's say the public school system in East Palo Alto. Now, what I know about Palo Alto is Stanford, Facebook, and all these beautiful buildings and a nice place to live, cycle lanes and everything. Mm-hmm. But East Palo Alto, I assume, is something very different.
Yeah, well, tucked right inside the Silicon Valley is East Palo Alto. That was the murder capital of the country in the 90s, really dealing with a horrible crack epidemic, and now really flowering into, a beautiful community, but that's still struggling with, poverty and gangs and just real income inequality, because you have the startup tech money right there. And then on the other side of the freeway, there's a different story.
Well, this is really interesting. And of course, you've got the freeway as this division, and it makes me think of St. Louis, Missouri, and the Del Mar line, the divide between rich and poor. And of course, every city
has that. And this is something that I study quite a lot in Bogota, that's the Avenida Caracas as well, which, I mean, these things really do divide. And is there a, well, I don't know if there's a chance of ever really creating an equality between, let's say, the Stanford side and the have-nots in the East Palo Alto side. It's very tough when you've got something so physical, that barrier, let's say, the freeway. But tell me, how did you get into this? And then, of course, how did you end up in Colombia?
I was working in corporate tech in San Francisco, working as an office manager for a UX design firm, and thought, you know, there's more than sitting behind a desk all day. And although I really did love it, I wanted to teach yoga and really heal people and help empower them to search for their life purpose. And So I studied yoga, and then a couple months later, I was teaching yoga to two-year-olds. I was teaching preschool yoga. So I'd be in my like corporate tech job, and then I'd play ukulele. So I'd put my ukulele on, and I'd run down the road, and I'd go teach like an hour preschool class to these crying two-year-olds, and then I would go back to my corporate tech job. So I was really balanced. You know, trying to get a yoga career started in one of the most expensive cities to live in the country, and also working a corporate tech job. So it was all kind of crazy. And then I just happened to have divine timing and was able to land a full-time yoga teaching position in the public school system. So I feel very blessed to be able to.
It is kind of incredible.
Do the work that I want to be doing.
It is kind of incredible. And this you know, and I think of this public school system to hire, you know, let's say wellness instructor, yoga teacher to come in. It's very forward thinking. It's not something that we would see here in Colombia straight off the bat. I mean, that's very forward thinking indeed.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's incredible. I actually have been hearing about this happening in Bogota.
Yeah, I know.
Mindfulness.
Yoga has been incorporated with former addicts, I think, and some perhaps some demobilized guerrillas. I think that there's been some experimental groups, but it's again very much in its infancy, and yoga does not have the cachet that yet here that it has up in obviously in California or the United States.
Right.
So you balanced it out between a corporate lifestyle and playing your ukulele and teaching yoga, and then you got the dream. The dream, you know, it happened for you. You could get out of the corporate race, let's say. And now you ended up doing this, and then you're down here on a break. You've been for 3 weeks here down in Colombia, but you're teaching yoga on the coast in this idyllic setting.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm at Gitana del Mar, which is right in between Buritaca and Puerto Nuevo. It's an eco hostel, or I'm sorry, an eco hotel, a boutique hotel, not a hostel at all. It's really focused on wellness, and there's yoga twice a day, and it's right on the beach. So it's basically a private beach. There's no really public access. And it's a wild, you know, the wild jungle Sierra Nevadas are your backdrop against a wild beach. So it's pretty incredible. And the yoga shala is on the beach.
So people are there stretching out their bodies and getting rid of the toxins that they bring with them from the big cities. And on the one side, they've got the nature and the jungle tumbling down the Sierra Nevada. And on the other side, the blue ocean and the white sandy beach.
And not to mention, this is like the Mecca of the indigenous population, the Kogis and the Tairona people. The Tairona Park, National Park, is just about 10 miles from here. And we're right next to the Buritaca River. From here, you can take a beautiful 45-minute walk along the beach to this beautiful river that all the locals swim in. And right up that Buritaca River, if you follow it all the way up to the mountain, I believe is the Ciudad Perdida, which is the lost city, you know, of the Tairona people, where they go every September and they still do these pilgrimages and these cleansing ceremonies there. So
you're right at the heart of the spiritual nature of let's say the Colombian Caribbean. It seems ideal for you.
It's pretty incredible. I'm a happy girl.
I'm glad. Remind my listeners that some months ago we did interview Santiago Giraldo, who works for sort of National Heritage and helps organize the Lost City, the Ciudad Perdida of the Teyuno, the Tayrona, and it was a fantastic interview talking about the value of this place and of course the risks and a bit of the history of it. But are you planning to do that hike, Ashley?
I am. I wasn't going to, but I've decided I think that it's a must for this area. And after I went to Palomino one day and I met Amamo, and which is part of the Kogi tribe, and he really took us in and asked us questions, and it was a really powerful to meet him. And they have a beautiful movie actually on Netflix called Aluna, which is basically the Kogi's message to the world about how we can preserve our earth and our water, and basically a cry for help. I'm gonna go.
It is a fantastic hike, I tell you. It's something about it. It's something not just the arrival at the different platforms. It's a part of the whole jungle experience. Is so enjoyable. That's interesting about that movie. And of course, the Kogi refer to us as little brothers, don't they? Little brothers, and they're the elder brothers because they know best in terms of the nature and the jungle and how to respect Mother Earth.
Right.
So tell me a little bit more here, your day-to-day routine at the Gitana del Mar, because I know that some people will be listening to this and just thinking, wow, you know, this Ashley, what a life. So you're not going to be there forever. You're just down here for a certain period of time. I imagine you'll be coming back because it's been such an amazing experience. What is a routine for you at the Gitana del Mar? On a day-to-day basis.
So to be a volunteer here, you have to commit for a month. Uh-huh. So I have 30 days on the ground here at Gitana del Mar. And a typical day looks like rising for yoga at 8 a.m. We have people coming from all over Colombia. This is like definitely a local spot. We're from Bogota, Cali, and really all over. And then some people we have had Australians and Spanish and a couple Americans, but not a lot. Only a couple. And so then we do yoga from 8 to 9. Then we enjoy the beautiful breakfast, which is an arepa with eggs anyway, and homemade granola with coconut from the trees on the property. And just beautiful. Everything is so nice. There's only 6 bungalows on the property, so everyone's really well taken care of. Staff is so beautiful. And the whole property is like just incredible with fruit trees. There's guama trees and mango trees and coconut and every mamones. There's so many amazing things.
Hang
out. It depends what you want to do. You can go tubing. We're kind of right in the center of all of this amazing stuff. So you could go hiking to Merihuaca and do these sacred pools, which is like only a 15-minute drive. You could go tubing down the Don Diego. Amazing guides they have here. You know, all the locals are just playing in this beautiful river. I saw monkeys, and it was so special to be in this sacred water that's coming, all the way from the snow-capped peaks up in the Sierra Nevada. Basically we just kind of revolves around really health and wellness here. It's like you read, you write, you sit in these beautiful little cabanas, and and then you eat lunch, and it's a beautiful, they do beautiful fish, and they really can cater to vegan or meat eaters, whatever. And the fish here, the chefs are like out of this world. And so then, it's basically like doing walks and little things. You could just stay here forever. You wouldn't even need to leave. Like, that's my thing. It's like, I don't need to do any tours. I can just be at Gitana and enjoy the birds watching. The bird watching here is crazy.
I don't know why I haven't just switched off this, the microphone now and started heading up there. It does sound very much like paradise indeed. And you will be making a lot of our listeners green with envy as they listen to this, and they're sitting maybe back in a gray day in London or elsewhere, New York. I know it's summertime across the world, but equally, it's still gray days in summertime. It does sound very idyllic. It does sound just incredible. I think when we'll take a short break and we'll be back, and we want to talk a little bit more about how you found this volunteering opportunity. And I'd like to explore a little bit of the possibilities to teach health and wellness here, perhaps in Colombia, to more, let's say, marginalized communities. I mean, what would you do as, let's say, some advice for these people? But we'll come back to that in the next segment of this show. We're talking to Ashley Benning from San Francisco, who's up at Buritaca at the moment on the Colombian Caribbean coast in an ideal setting called the Gitana del Mar. That's gitanadelmar.co if you want to check out the website. And this is episode 148. We're talking about health and wellness up there. And we will come right back with further information about this, let's say, this practice, this spirituality that can help us get through the toxic stress of our day-to-day lives. But we're talking to Ashley Benning. This is Columbia Calling, episode 148. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're talking to Ashley Benning, who's a San Franciscan, but she's in Buritaca at the moment. And for those of you who know where Buritaca is, it's on the Caribbean coast, the Colombian Caribbean coast. It's up there in basically what you and I would refer to as paradise. There's the palm trees swaying in the breeze, the white sandy beaches, the blue ocean, the verdant Sierra Nevada behind with the snow-capped peaks up there, the Pico Bolivar and everything else, behind you. It's really an unbelievable setting. And Ashley somehow is up there, volunteering at the Gitana del Mar, eco hotel up there, and teaching yoga a couple of times a day and basically living the dream. I get the idea, Ashley. I mean, you're pretty happy up there in Buritaca. So
it's a game changer. I have to say.
It's a game changer. No more corporate life for you. First of all, let's start and just educating my readers, my listeners, a little bit, and saying, how did you get this volunteering opportunity in such an idyllic setting?
There's a wonderful website called yogatrade.com, and they publicize yoga trade opportunities all over the world. So from Bali to Spain to California to Colombia. And I went on there and I looked at all opportunities that had ever been posted in South America. Last summer, I did the same thing in Costa Rica at Rancho Margot in the rainforest for 30 days. And I knew I wanted to do it again, but maybe more in South America. So I went back and I looked at all the backlogs of any place that had ever posted, and I wrote to everyone. And Nina from Gitana got back to me and said, I have a 1.5-year-old, come play ukulele with her and teach her baby yoga and come teach at my beautiful shala, which I was just so thrilled to find this place.
As you say, you looked at everything, you looked at all the listings, and of course you wanted South America, but when Colombia came up, you were like, that's the one for me, or you're a little bit hesitant about Colombia?
Oh, totally hesitant. Uh-huh. You go online and just, as someone who's looking to really say, is it safe for a blonde white girl with blue eyes to go to Colombia? And what is that like? What will that experience be like? The first things I found online were not good. Mm. They were not happy. They were not like, oh, yeah, go, with like Zika this and, kidnappings and la, la, la. And it kind of took me a minute to really do some digging. Actually, Columbia Calling really helped me get a greater perspective of what's actually going on and what is actually what you need to be careful of and what actually is just totally stuck in myth.
Oh, well, thank you for the flattering references there. I try and inform, but of course, at the same time, Colombia, you know, has a justifiably bad reputation, you know, in various areas of the country and for various reasons. But on the other side, the flip side of that, you can be up in Buritaco or up here in Mombos and never know that any of that ever happens. I mean, you can really have the most wonderful experience in Colombia and not, you know, and not be exposed to any of the real problems. So I'm glad you sort of went through further. You know, a lot of people would have been turned off by those first few articles, let's say, that you must have found online. Of it. Oh no, Colombia's, you know, off limits, I'm not going. And they would have gone somewhere, right, let's say, more comfortable, let's say, maybe, you know, a Brazilian place or Bali, like you said, you know, somewhere more comfortable.
Right.
But you persevered and found better news about Colombia. And we are better for it because you've come down and now you will be an ambassador for the country when you go back up to California. You will talk about your experiences, and that's what we need here, those of us who live here in Colombia. So I'm glad that this happened. And, you know, as I say, Colombia is not all strawberries and cream. It's not all roses. There are lots of problems, and that's what I try and get across in the podcast. It's not just the bad, but there are the good, but also, you know, you do need to be aware of what's going on. And of course, it's pretty momentous time right now here in Colombia. But so anyway, you ended up coming down, you know, it was signed off on. Your family were worried about you coming to Colombia, a blonde, blue-eyed girl?
Not at all. No.
Well, there we go.
Completely supportive and, jealous.
Well, there we go. Your family are in the minority, so therefore that's great. That's great that they were behind
you.
So you came on down and you're down here and everything. Now, what I wanted to sort of draw the conversation back to, Ashley, was the following things, because since you told us that you work with at-risk children up in East Palo Alto, I find that very interesting indeed, because Colombia is a damaged society, it's a damaged community. And so I was just thinking, if we put it into context, what's going on in Colombia and all of these children who've grown up in conflict or, let's say, with abusive families or in just hard or, as you said, toxic situations. And that's a huge amount. I wouldn't even like to put a percentage on it, you know, guessing, but it's a huge amount of children, families, and so on. I just thought we could bring that maybe into context with Colombia and with East Palo Alto, because, you know, these, as you say, these kids grow up with toxic stress. So, you know, I am a person who doesn't know a lot about yoga and the health and wellness field and all of this. What are your practices? What is it you do when you're with these children in East LA, you know, I guess they're around 5 or 6 years of age? What do you do with them to, let's say, start a healing process?
So, yeah. Basically, we work a lot with the breath, and people that have experienced toxic stress, they have a stress response basically similar to the fight or flight. Something very simple could happen to them, a very simple stress thing that you shouldn't really get super stressed about.
Yeah.
But the brain then actually reacts as if someone is chasing you and that you are going to be killed. Your brain goes into this kind of protective mode that sends the heart pumping, and that's really toxic stress prolonged in the system, which really leads to heart disease. And so what we do with the kids is we start to just have them recognize how they're feeling in their body, which can be really difficult for a 5 or 6 year old to sit even still for 1 minute, right?
Yeah.
But we have a bell and we do mindful listening. So we'll take a couple breaths and they lead each other. So it's really we're teaching them how to teach each other and how to teach themselves self-regulation.
Okay.
So just as an example, right now, we could all feel our feet in the ground, even you listening at home. Feel your feet on the ground, feel them in the earth. That is mindfulness, bringing our mind full of the present moment, full of a sensation in the body. And then we'll take a deep inhale through the nose and exhale through the nose. And sometimes we can see, even after just taking one conscious breath, we can feel a shift in our energy, in our vibration, in our stress level.
Right.
And so we're starting to teach the kids, when they feel angry, how they can use these techniques, and really giving them language and tools. So teaching them to be kind leaders, teaching them that we have these two different wolves, you know, we have this wolf that is red and fire and angry, and this wolf inside of us that is blue and calm and peaceful. And every minute we get to make a choice, which wolf are we going to feed? And if we feed the red wolf, it gets so big, right? And it will eat us alive, it's anger. Uh-huh. But if we feed the blue wolf, the red wolf will just lay down next to it. And they, you know, it's like not that we don't want anger. We just, you know, start to bring awareness to it, and uh-huh. It releases its power on us. And even the little kids, they get it. They're like, who are you feeding? The blue wolf. You know, they'll call each other out, which is incredible.
It is incredible. It's a proper awareness, and I think it's really interesting this, because I'm hearing the wolf, and I'm hearing the, and you're hearing my wolf in the background. I'm hearing the wolf, but I'm thinking, when you say the red wolf, I'm saying, you know, that expression, seeing red, you know, it's that anger, and it is consuming. When you have a proper rage, it does consume you. And of course, it can be a dizzying spell. You lose control of everything, you know. This is very interesting indeed, and you know, I can imagine myself calming down in a stressful situation, you know, sort of bending my toes into the earth underfoot. I can feel it. That's kind of, for me, that first feeling when I get finally to the beach after a long period of time, and I can feel the sand, you know, pressuring between my toes. It lifts a weight off my shoulders. I've never thought of it as a type of meditation, but I can see it now. I can feel it now. And as you say, you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Is that a circular breathing that helps us calm down?
Typically, we do all the breathing in through the nose and out through the nose, but mm-hmm. You can do really all different types of pranayama, all different types of breathing, and really elongating the exhale is key. So sometimes people take a deep breath in and then blow it all out. But really what we want to do is we want to elongate the exhale, which really calms down the parasympathetic nervous system and sends a signal to our brain that we are okay.
Wow.
And the more that we practice it, the easier it gets and the quicker that feeling comes, right? And the kids can really start to identify, what are the stories that are in my mind all the time that are making me feel so stressed all the time? And how can I start to have more positive thoughts?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've seen, I mean, how long have you been working in this in East Palo Alto with the kids?
2 years.
And you've seen change, because I imagine you've been working with the same kids for a long period of time.
I have. I've seen a lot of change. There's still a lot of work to be done, but and this is such an impressionable time. This, you know, K-8, you know, really, if they just remember one time in their future to take a deep breath, like, yeah, I have done my job, like, yeah, it's in them, I do believe.
Wow. Now, so, you know, I can see this really being important in Colombia. I mean, we are in an incredible situation right now where somehow the society needs to move forward in terms of reconciliation, because we're going to start reintegrating all these people who have grown up only with hate, only in a situation of the long-running internal conflict. There's so much animosity here, and you know, it's not an easy time, but I can see the need for more projects like this. So I understand, after your period of up there in Buritaca in Paradise, you're going down to Cali to work down there, to volunteer down there for a while.
Yeah, I'm gonna go teach at El Rincón de la Hacienda, a beautiful finca up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. Some friends I met here at Gitana del Mar, their family owns that place, and they're going to put together a retreat for me up there. So if you're in the area of Cali and you want to do, we're doing kids yoga, so they have a 9-year-old, so we're going to do a 9-year-old, you know, kind of class, mm-hmm. a kids class. and then some adult classes as well, where you can come up to the finca for the day. You can even stay up there. They have like a full day package where you can stay the night, or just the day package where they feed you breakfast, and then we do yoga, and then you eat, and then there's more yoga. So that's kind of a whole retreat situation up there, and I'll have information on my Facebook as that gets developed.
Okay, we will link to that on our Facebook side.
Yeah, it's going to be early August.
Okay, perfect. So we'll link to that and make sure that people know about that. I think I've got some listeners in Cali. but it's interesting that, but this will be with, let's say, people of high society in Cali. This will be people who are, let's say, economically, you know, fine. I understand.
Yes, equally said,
the middle class, the upper middle class in Colombia also need, you know, everybody gets these rages, and they also need to be working on reconciliation and how to make themselves better, let's say, citizens in a social environment. I can see the need for this, and so I mean, you'll be taking classes, but will you get the opportunity to actually teach other perhaps yoga, are they called yoga? Other teachers, other wellness instructors, what you know, so that they can perhaps share it within their own classes?
I will be going to Bogota to work with some kids that are doing this work. And their slogan is mindfulness for peace. Uh-huh. So I do hope to connect with them and connect with their teachers and maybe sit in on one of their classes and see what they're doing here and see how I can help and expand. And I definitely would love to come back to this area and, you know, give my energy and resources. And so, yeah.
I keep repeating it. I can really see the need. And when you're in Bogota, do let us know, because I'd love to hear about how it happened. It's mindfulness for peace, because obviously everything now is aimed at a post-accord or post-conflict situation with the one guerrilla group who will be signing off on the conflict. And, you know, I can see real importance of, let's say, pro bono or government-funded or NGO-funded classes of this nature, because, these things are needed. We need to think and approach these problems from a different angle, we need to think more openly about how to incorporate a huge amount of society into becoming, let's say, active participants and good people. So I'm impressed that you've come down to Colombia to very altruistic of you. You want to share your knowledge with others. This is a great experience, not only for you, but for those who are able to sit in and experience your classes. But let's move on a little bit, because I think it's kind of incredible. Let's head back to the Gitana del Mar, and for those who are, again, sort of watering at the mouth, salivating at the thought of just living on the beach, and it's the gitanadelmar.com, which essentially means the gypsy of the sea. You've had contact with the Kogi up there, because the Kogi are the original indigenous tribe, the original people of that region, and who are very involved in the environment and very involved in a spirituality concerning the Pachamama, the Mother Earth. Have you had any exposure to some of their learnings and beliefs about the environment and protecting the environment while you've been there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the day in Palomino, which I highly recommend, beautiful little town, this Mamo, like, called us over. We were just checking out this hostel, and he called us over to come sit on these tires with him. And we sat down. This Canadian girl who was with me was also working at Katana, volunteering. We sat down both sides of him, and he held our hands and just started laughing. And he's like chewing coca, you know, the coca and then the white shells that he mashes up and in the I forget what that thing's called. But and so just eating coca all day, you know, just like lips take big smile on his face. And he asked me for a coin, and I took the coin, and he took the coin and he put it on this little perfume bottle of water, and he held and he stood it up. to try to balance it on this perfume bottle, looking at the bubbles, you know, that they're really, the Kogi is so in touch with water. They really believe like the water that we're polluting in these lagoons and at these seven sacred places in the Sierra de Matas, that it really affects what's happening all the way nine ecosystems higher in, you know, the ice peaks of the Sierra Nevadas. And so, you know, there's drought up there, and, you know, there's all these endangered species, and really, you know, with all this development that's happening along the shore, they're really seeing a lot of devastation up higher up, landslides. And, you know, they're really trying to communicate this message of like, look at the bubbles in the water. You know, it will tell you everything you need to know. The vibration, the earth is telling us through its vibration that it's sick and that we need to heal it. So they're doing lots of cleansing ceremonies and they're reforesting these areas and really bringing back the indigenous trees and plants and, you know, so it was such a beautiful thing to sit with that Momo and have him ask me, like, what do you want? And what's in your way? And he gave me this coin and he wrapped it up in plastic bag. I'm like, this is normal. He wrapped it up in the plastic bag and said, hold it. Do not spend this. Keep this forever. Uh-huh. And you'll never have to worry about money. You will not have to worry about work, but do not spend it or you will be poor.
Oh. Wow.
But hold this close to your heart. And
but he asked some pretty deep questions of you there. What's in your way and what do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, were you able to answer those questions?
I was, yeah. And, you know, he didn't give any, like, things back. He gave things back, but he didn't say, oh, this is what you need to do.
No, it's because it's about you hearing yourself saying it, I think.
Yeah.
Out loud, you know? Interesting.
And the energy that he gave me through this, you know, coin that he... You know. And then he gave me a mouthful
bag.
Of coca.
But the coca, I mean, you know, it's a traditional, let's say, plant. That's there, the religion. It's nothing. You're not. It's not a mouthful of cocaine. It's a mouthful of coca.
No. It's totally. But it's also a mouthful of leaves.
Yeah. It's like imagine taking intense. A whole mouthful of bay leaves. I mean, that's.
Everything was numb. My whole mouth was numb, and then I'm like chewing on the seashells because the alkalinity of the seashells release. The this is why they can hike 2 days into the mountains is because they're just chewing these coca leaves to deal with the altitude and they don't need to eat really. And so we actually went on an hour pilgrimage up the mountain and ended up seeing all these beautiful families and kogis. And so I got to trek a little bit the way of the kogi for a minute with my coca leaves.
with your numbed mouth and your killed house.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty incredible. The experience is pretty incredible that he called you over, you know, he picked you, the both of you out to call you over to spend some time with him and to, you know, sort of give you, I guess it's kind of spiritual feedback. I mean, this is something that you can't get, you know, this is something that's not, you know, not open to everyone. I don't know how much opportunity one gets in San Francisco. I'm sure that there are visiting, elders of different tribes and so on, but nothing like what you had in their setting, you know, their proper setting. It's what an experience to have. And what an experience to take with you. And well, I have to say, I thank you for sharing that story with us, because it just shows the connection to the land, to the water, to the mountains, to everything that the Kogi have. And we were party to this. So Lissa, I mean, we'll wind down the show now, because it's been really fun talking to you and hearing about what you're doing. And I know that my listeners will be thinking, yeah, there are opportunities for this health and wellness, this health and wellness field here in Colombia. You've given us a good explanation of really what it is and how perhaps, I mean, I think more than perhaps, probably, this can really help a lot of the next future generations in Colombia come to terms with such a horrific past. But, you know, and I'm trying not to turn this conversation into a negative one, because you are having such an incredible time up there in Buritaca, and you'll have an incredible time in Cali, and equally you'll have an incredible time, volunteering in Bogota. What an experience. And, you know, long may it last, Ashley.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I think 4 more weeks. So I'm thrilled to be here, and I really love the people. The people have, you know, Colombians from all over that I've met are so kind and so helpful. Mm-hmm. One guy in Santa Marta stopped 4 lanes of traffic for me to catch the bus.
Wow.
Not anyone would do that.
Well, it may have something to do with the blonde hair, blue eyes there, I have to say. You know.
Oh, so, and sorry, the feeling of, I'm lost, help me.
Sorry about bringing the negativisms there. I think that's just Manchester culture there. So, but no, it's been fantastic. You really are a very positive and upbeat person, and it comes through from obviously all this work, this good work that you're doing, and not only in Colombia but also up in East Palo Alto and San Francisco. So let me just say thank you on behalf of my listeners, and thank you for myself here in Colombia Calling for being with us here on this episode 148.
Thank you so much. I am such a huge fan, and it was just so awesome to talk with you, and I'm now off to the treehouse to get a massage.
Oh, yeah, it sounds tough. I'm going to go and start a barbecue.
So, oh, lovely.
Yeah. So listen, thank you again. This has been Colombia Calling episode 148. I'm Richard McCall. I was talking to Ashley Benning. We'll put up the links to her Facebook page when she's heading off to Cali and heading off to Bogota, so that you, those of you in those places can be in contact with her if it's of interest. And she's at the moment at the gitanadelmar.co. So look that up if you want to volunteer, if you are a health and wellness instructor and you have some time on your hands. So look that up. But anyway, this has been episode 148. I've been Richard McCall for Colombia Calling. Thank you for listening. And be sure to tune in next week when we get another interesting interviewee on the show. And goodbye for now. Y atar